Good morning, church, again. It is a blessing and a privilege to be up here. I can tell word got out that I was giving the message. A rookie up here and a lot of empty pews. But it's all good. I'll explain the reason I'm up here. Actually, we all know and we've been praying for Patrick and his family because of COVID. And also, Scott and Shirley have illness. And Jeff Valadine was not available. So they kept going down the list. I was right above some guy named Ziggy. But so today will be a little bit different. The good news is, since it's not Patrick, since it's not Jeff, since it's not Scott, you'll be out of here 20 minutes earlier. But it was interesting because our daughter is flying in. She'll be arriving here in a while from Costa Rica with her baby in the oven, and her handsome husband and another son and his wife are coming down. And so there was a lot going on this week. And so I thought, hey, I'm in the clear. And then wonderful brother Ken calls me up and says, well, I don't know, Sunday night, he says, can you do a Wednesday class? There's no one to do the Wednesday class. And I say, sure, that's great. I'll do Wednesday class. And then on Wednesday when I'm working on the class, Patrick calls me up and says, can you preach on Sunday? And I go, whoa, because most men say no, then they think about it. So I thought, though, And then I said, well, I'm doing the Lord's Supper. And he said, well, we're kind of short on people. Do you think you could do them both? And so just when you thought you knew. Okay, well, it's all good. Let us start with a prayer. Awesome God, have mercy when you see us here. Awesome God, grant healing. Awesome God, be with us here to open our hearts to hear your word. And awesome God, do not let me interfere with your word. Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, fill us. And it's in Jesus Christ, holy and powerful and almighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today is interesting because what are you going to say? And a lot of times the longer you prepare, the harder it is. So I figured I'd just do a little easy thing. From the birth of Christ to John 3:16, it's completion. So the story of the Bible from cover to cover, because it starts with Christ's mention in the third chapter of Genesis, and it finishes with his completion and all the other teachings that followed because of this incredible man, the Nazarene. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to look at the birth, and I want to look at 3:16. And I see three parts in it, in both of them. God's part, Jesus' part, and man's part. We all are participants in the birth. We all are participants in the resurrection, in the final completion of this birth. And when did it all start? Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Praise, and this is Paul, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In his love, he predestined us as to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Before time, before the world, God knew we would be here today. God knew each one of our hearts, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. If you get time, I didn't go there. This was one of the things you off when you're throwing all the last stuff together, and you want to read a beautiful psalm of David, Psalm 139. It's just amazing how God knew us when we were being formed in the womb, and every moment of our life was already listed in his book. Okay, then just when the time was right, that's when Jesus was born. You can look at where Judea was. You can look at King Herod, a powerful king. And in that little manger, because he built this incredible palace on a hill, Bethlehem would fall in the shadow of that incredible hill. Little did he know, and little did he want, that Savior born in Bethlehem. So Jesus, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, humbled himself, and became a man. God's master plan was Jesus becoming a man. So, Christ, at birth, what was God's part of this? What did he feel? Well, he started thousands of years before telling us. There are so many prophecies. I'm just going to touch on a few. And all these different verses I will bring up today, you can amplify them. This book is loaded with everything we need. So, God told us ahead of time, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then further on in Isaiah, that we all know, and this is so wonderful, 9 starting in 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Okay, so God told us about it. God has emotions. So many, but beyond our comprehension, as in God's love, as in God's mercy, as in God's understanding. But I'm going to tell you right now what I believe is God was a very proud and happy daddy. Luke, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." God opened up the heavens when his boy. When my children were born, I made chocolate chip cookies, and I handed those out. I thought of those bubblegum cigars, because that was still when cigars were cool, but that's way more expensive. They don't taste as good. But he opened the heavens. Matthew 3, 16 and 17, at Jesus' baptism, the heavens open again. The Holy Spirit comes down in a dove, and he says, "This is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." This is my son, who I love. With him I am well pleased. At the Transfiguration, Mark 7. And these are in multiple Gospels. "This is my son, whom I love." And then I love this part. "Listen to him." God was a proud father. And this proud father, God of all, knew the price of his fatherhood. His innocent, beloved son would pay the price for our sins when we were still sinners. And in prophecy, he told us this as well. And you're all very familiar. This is a little longer read, but this is God letting us know what his plan is. This is Isaiah 53. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We all are like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away." I'm skipping just a pinch. "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for our transgressions." God, just here in Isaiah alone, gives us the miracle of this birth, sets up how long and what this kingdom is about, and lets you know the way it will be achieved and what we have to benefit. Jesus is suffering for our transgressions. Okay. That was God's plan of love for us. God's love for all through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay, Jesus, a baby. What was his part? What did he feel? He humbled himself and became a mere man. But he knew he had limited time. His purpose was to teach the truth, a new wisdom based on heavenly standards. John 18:37. Jesus is talking to Pilate. Pilate, are you a king then? Said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this very reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth, the new heavenly standard that the world had yet to grasp. Okay, now, Jesus taught us the truth and this new wisdom. I'm just going to touch a couple of thoughts and hop around in the Bible of this incredible wisdom that Christ gave us. That when I, this is funny, that's many years ago, when I was first studying, I was just, whoa, you know, and asked to be cool, dude, I could not believe the wisdom I was hearing. It changed the entire way I thought. It changed the entire way the world thinks. Matthew 9:10-13. Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners and teaching. And the Pharisees, who had their righteousness that they supported, asked, why eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus starts right away with this incredible wisdom, with this incredible truth. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners, like you and me. When I heard this, I always thought, when I read this, was before I was baptized. I thought, I'm not good enough to get baptized. What a silly thought. Jesus came for me. He came for you, a sinner. Matthew 22:15-22. I love this, especially this time of year. It gives me complete freedom. The Pharisees come up to Jesus and says, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? All they cared about was trapping Jesus. They were using the world's wisdom to have an impact on Jesus. Jesus says, bring out a coin. Bring out a coin. He says, whose picture is on it? Whose inscription's on it? And they say, Caesar's. And he says these wonderful words, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God. It's tax time. Give to Caesar what he gets. We don't ever have to complain about taxes. We cannot be happy. But as long as we give to God what God deserves. In fact, it's almost like an oxymoron. On our money, which is used for all different things, good and bad, and a lot of bad. What does it say on it? In God we trust. That's who we trust on, not that $5, $20, $100 bill. It is in God that we trust. Then Jesus taught again. You heard it said, hate your enemies, and, you know, I'm paraphrasing, But Jesus says, but I say, love your enemies and pray for them. What a wonderful thought. The best thing that can happen to an enemy is someone praying for them. We don't know in God's plan what it is for a person to find salvation. But God does. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Which is so true. We need to reach out and love. Jesus says, and I didn't mark the scripture, but it's easy enough to find. Jesus says, when you're giving a banquet, don't invite your friends and all these fancy people so you get invited back. You've received your reward. Invite the poor. Invite the crippled. Invite the downtrodden. Then your reward will be great in heaven. Matthew 10:28. Do not, I just want to repeat over and over again. This all that I'm reading is truth. This all that I'm reading is wisdom that we can take to heart. This is a wisdom that will go to bat for you, as they say. This is a wisdom that will get you through the toughest times. Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one, our Heavenly Father, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. God is the one who holds the power. All through Scripture, when Satan wants to do something, he asks God. Even when he wanted to get Peter, he said, Satan asked to sift you. But Satan doesn't do anything without God being aware of it. And I like, too, where he says, rather be afraid. I like to put in the word awe. Be in awe of. They use a lot of fear God, which is good. God is powerful. But I like it more the awe, the greatness, acknowledging rather fear, acknowledging power and greatness. And then this last one. I love this. There are so many more. But Jesus is preaching. And a woman, did you ever try to say something nice to get on someone's good side, you know? Have them kind of go, yeah, you're cool, you know? And especially when it's a person of great renown. This woman in the crowd yells out, blessed is the mother who nursed you. She's thinking, oh, yeah, Jesus is going to like that. Everyone loves her mama. And blessed was Mary. In fact, my beautiful bride, Lori, and myself, when we used to study at Monroe's house, and we'd answer questions, and we sat at Monroe's feet, a scholar. And occasionally he'd give you a very good, on the way home, I'd be, hey, Lori, I got a very good, you know. And Lori got an outstanding. And then one time, Lori had the whole way singing home. Lori said something, and Monroe goes, astute. I don't even know what astute means. When we got home, I looked it up. But this woman wanted the kudos, I think. But it gave Jesus a chance, again, to tell us truth and wisdom. He says, blessed rather those who hear the word of God and obey it. That is what is blessed. And there are many, many more. The four Gospels, I think we could call them the book of God, the books of God's truth and wisdom. The Gospels are the good news, but they're the truth and the wisdom of Jesus Christ our Lord. But it didn't end there. In loving obedience, Jesus fulfilled his Father's will, his master plan that all who believe in him shall have eternal life. God's plan for Jesus, even death on a cross. God's truth and wisdom. And at this time, we have read similar things before, but I just want to read a couple of quotes from modern times, basically within the last 100 years, I'm sure, about Jesus from people you'll recognize. Albert Einstein, what he said about Jesus, our God. As a child, I received instruction in both the Bible and the Talmud. I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life. Einstein knew. Mahatma Gandhi, what Gandhi said. A man who was completely innocent offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became the ransom of the world. It was a perfect act. Neither of these men are Christian. I have to throw one in there. If you're watching online, you'll like this one. Elvis Presley. I'm not the king. Jesus Christ is the king. I'm just an entertainer. And then, I'm almost done here. I'll finish with H.G. Wells, another man who is not a Christian, talking about our Messiah. I'm a historian, not a believer, but I must confess, as a historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all history. That is our God, the most dominant figure in all history. Now, okay, just getting my notes here. Now, our part in this miraculous birth. Accept this baby. The true gift of Christmas, the gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, a personal, heartfelt gift for each and every one of us from God and for all the world. Enjoy this free, glorious gift of salvation. Just accept. Don't try to justify. Don't try to rationalize. Accept this free and glorious gift. For those, too, that for some reason the world has been very difficult. For some reason you can't understand the cruelty and the loneliness you have felt in the world. It seems unfair. This, for so many people, can be a very hard time to be you. But take full confidence. Know the truth. The true gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, the world cannot take from you. You have this wonderful gift of salvation. You have this wonderful gift of love. You don't need, as not to bring up the the Christmas Grinch dude, but you don't need presents. You don't need ribbons. You don't need that. They had the spirit of Christmas in their hearts, but But we have the true gift of Christmas in our hearts. Jesus Christ, our Lord, no one can take that from you. Jesus, for everyone, is your happy thought. We always say, it could be worse, it could be whatever, but Jesus as your happy thought, it can't get better. It cannot get better. Cliff, right now, we're going to swing over to the Lord's Supper in a minute, but Cliff, would you lead us this song for anyone who has those feelings, who life has been on, tough on for a little while? This song just touches me. It's easy. We all know it. And feel it. Feel the true gift that we have in Christ as Cliff leads us.
God.
I hope all the sick folk are better, because unfortunately, your trouble has blessed me greatly. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is what it's all about. Jesus Christ. This is communion with each other here, with communion with God Almighty, communion with Jesus Christ, our Lord, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was going to finish this all as part of my lesson and then do a Lord's Supper, but I thought this fits perfect. We just finished the birth of Christ. We finished God with emotion, what he felt, telling the world in pride, but understanding the pain he would feel. We know Jesus. He knew his mission to testify to the truth, the wisdom, the truth, the rock-solid Bible. And in John 3:16, we can understand all three of these parts again, but in a different light. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Christ's completion on the cross. God's part, God so loved the world. God, as I said, had emotion. God had a son. They had a relationship where Jesus, Luke does it a lot, but they all do, and Jesus went to pray, and Jesus went to pray, and Jesus went to pray. He was in constant communication with his Father. And Jesus, in the Gospels, tells us exactly who he is, and he tells us exactly what his relationship with the Father is. And I am going to give you sort of my take on this. A guy who, I don't have PowerPoints. I don't even have a cell phone. I didn't know what astute meant. When they said do a synopsis, I'm, what is that? I thought it was a disease. No. But so I'm giving you my take. Jesus wants us to know who he is and his relationship. And I think John does it great. In John 4:26, Jesus tells him, and this is in the Greek, I am. They know. Jesus is proclaiming. The great I am. Jesus tells him, I am God. I am. John 8:58. Before Abraham, I am. Jesus is telling them exactly and telling us exactly who he is. God. John 8:29. The one who sent me is with me. I am not alone. Jesus, and we can't understand this. We can't fully understand the Trinity, but we know someday when we get there, we're going to go, oh, that's what it means. But Jesus tells them plainly, I am not alone. Where am I? John 10:30. I and the Father are one. One. To me, one is purity, together, one element. John 13:11, again, Jesus, I am. He is God. John 14:11, he tells them, The Father is in me. One, like he said. John 16:32. You will all scatter, each to your home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Jesus and God, I believe, were a team from before time. They were a team in his birth. They were a team in his life. And they were a team in his death on the cross. And then Luke 22:70, when it's all finished, Jesus says, into your hands I commit my spirit. God was listening. God was there. God altered the weather. God made earthquakes happen. In Matthew, there's an incredible account that you can go to when Christ died. God watched every moment, I believe. God was there every moment, I believe. And in my little heart, while God was crying, I believe he said, this is my son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus' part, his participation. Three words. I am willing. I am willing. Think about this. Just think about this. Jesus signed his name on a horrible cross to be crucified. And his PS said, I am willing. There was heartfelt emotion. They were a team. They were joyous together. They lived together. They cried together. Obviously, we can't understand all of it, but it's there. That's why we're here. God so loved the world. And our part. Accept this gift of Christmas. Accept it in your heart. Accept that Christ is the Son of God. Don't try to justify. Accept. It is so easy. That he rose again, and we will be with him in heaven. Show it by showing your obedience. Be baptized. Accept Christ as the Son of God. Accept he died for our sins. Accept he rose again. Be baptized in obedience. Jesus Christ himself was baptized. And what did John say? Well, I shouldn't be baptizing you. Jesus did it out of obedience. Jesus did it out of an example for all of us to follow. And I have a simple verse that I have loved. I have quoted it to people over and over that helps me along the way. But it's not in the Gospels. It's found in the book of James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. We can't do everything. We come across so many people, and I told a story about me and Lori running into a very poor family. We did what we could to help, but we can't fix everything. Jesus tells us, too, there will always be poor. There'll always be corruption. But if you know it, and it's in your power, to do the good you ought to do and don't do it. It's a bad word to the world. You sin. Now, I want to give it even a little bit more of a spin. Jesus tells us plainly that only God is good. Jesus tells us that. Now listen to this. So anyone who knows the God he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. In our life, we know right and wrong. We know what God would want us to do. We have to live a life of godliness. If you know the good you should do, if you know the spreading of God you should do, and you don't do it, someday you might be called into account. Praise be Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and our mistakes. Read these four Gospels, the books of wisdom, the books of truth, and it will transform you. It will let you know the God you should do in your lives. So now we're going to partake in the God we know we should do in our lives. We're going to do exactly what Jesus told us. We're going to remember him. And we need to remember him, but try to live like he does. Over and over. Quick way, and Jesus showed it to John 14 something or other. They will know we are Christians by our love. And that is how we'll know. Does anyone need one of these? Jim's in back holding them ready? Okay. Good, because Jim's got a terrible arm. No, just kidding. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Holy, almighty, amazing, supreme Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask to fill us now. Father, your amazing plan of love, your amazing plan of salvation, your amazing plan came with a heavy cost for both you, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, you, our Lord. Help us always to understand, because of this great event, the greatest event of history, we have the right to sit at your feet at your throne. We are considered your children. Father, open our hearts to share. Open our hearts to love. Open our hearts to see the good we ought to do. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Our God is the God of the living, not of the dead. At this time, I always think the simple things Jesus said about this. This is the new covenant in my blood. This is the start for all us Gentiles, for all of us to be part of God's family. Remember this, the cost that you were redeemed. And it was because Jesus said, I am willing. And God said, "This is my son whom I love. In him I am well pleased." Holy Father, again we come before you as people who stumble, people who fall, people who sin. And it hurts us to sin, and we know it hurts you. But praise be Jesus Christ, our Lord, who took the burden of sin and covered us with his blood. Thank you, Father. Open our hearts again to love, and for us also to say, "I am willing because he lives." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. That concludes our lesson. But I will bring up that the first thing you want to do is accept. The second, you want to act. And the third, we have all been blessed with so much. Contribute and feel good to share what God blessed you with. Let us say one more prayer. Awesome God, right here in this building, we are so blessed. We have water fountains. We have toilets. We have cars in the parking lot. Father, you gave everyone in this room more than 60% of the world has, maybe even more. You so blessed us, and it was for a reason, that we may share and we may grow in you and share you with the world. Help us always to be generous in our love for you and in generous with all of the wonderful things you've blessed us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.